Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you. In each episode, we get right to the core of what it takes to launch and grow a successful dental practice. So whether you've just started researching dental startups or even sitting on the fence for a while, this podcast is your personal roadmap to your very own dental practice. Let's get into it. Welcome back. Are you torn between buying an existing practice or building the practice of your dreams? In today's episodes, we're going to dive deep into the risks and the rewards of acquisitions versus startups. From clashing cultures and reputational risks to the exhilarating freedom of creating your own vision with your ideal patients. It's going to be all on the table today. Think startups struggle to attract patients? Well, think again. So grab your pen and let's dive in and build this practice of your dreams. All right, first off, full disclosure, as you all know, like this is the Startup Dentist Podcast. So I talk a lot about startups. But you know what? Like I'm not here to be able to say acquisition's bad, startups are great for everybody. Like the right path for you as a practice owner is the right path for you. So I'm not here to be able to sell against the idea of an acquisition. Truth be told, I want to be able to walk through, and there are pros and cons to both these paths. Ultimately, you need to decide what is going to be that best path for you. So when it comes to acquisitions, I'll even talk even briefly on like the buy-in. And I don't have a lot of good things to say about buy-in, so full disclosure on that. So let's talk about acquisition. So there are some benefits of having an acquisition. Now, I will say this, like we have had clients over the years, a handful of clients, funny stories that they bought their first practice and then they come to us and say, I want to do a startup. And first question is always why? And the answer always is this, because the one I bought isn't mine. It was never mine. I always felt like it was somebody else's, like I was living in somebody else's house, somebody else's clothing and shoes. So, you know, maybe you're sitting there and you own a practice right now and you're probably thinking like, this doesn't feel like mine. Guess what? There's a great path for you to start your own practice and you could still have that. Heck, one of our clients in the Midwest, he had acquired his father's practice. And for him, it was, he's doing a startup with us. And he had hired an ideal practice team. We guided him through this whole process, built a awesome, awesome startup, just rocked it. And the reason why he wanted to do that was while he had acquired his father's practice, he always said, it wasn't mine. It was my father's practice. Now he kept his father's practice and worked both practices and things like that, had an associates, but he spent more time in his startup, obviously, because he goes, this was mine. I was able to do it the way that I wanted. So think about that. So acquisitions, I think there's a great path out there when it comes to acquisitions. And I think there's a handful of benefits when it comes to acquisitions. I would say this, like everything is built. Number one, like everything is built. Like you have the space is there, it's built out. So you could save time. I'm like time, possibly save time. I'll talk to you about like, what does that look like in today's environment when it comes to time of an acquisition. So it's there. You can go in, step in. It does take some time, obviously, to acquire your financing and things like that. But generally speaking, like you're not going through a build out phase of building out a practice like you would with a startup. So like the structure is there. But is it built out the way that you want and the way that you deliver dentistry? That's for you to decide. But you need to look through that. There are patients there. There is a team there. So, you know, if it's not the hiring process and even like you still need to market with us with an acquisition, I always say, because don't know, there is going to be attrition. So I'll just say this, guarantee you will have attrition. You will lose patients. Why? Just simply because you're not the old dentist. You're going to lose patients. So you need to have a marketing strategy that's in there. But generally, you're going to walk in with patients. Now, you need to do your due diligence on practice acquisitions. Probably that's maybe a Captain Obvious moment. But I think too many times everyone just kind of looks at it and goes, oh, the revenues, I'm buying that. Yes. Number three, you are buying cash flow. You should be anyway. if you really understand what that cash flow is of that practice. So acquisitions have built in, they have the systems that are there, all these different elements are in that practice. So yes, I would say the biggest advantage, quote unquote, of an acquisition is simply that cash flow. You're buying revenues and you need to know what that actually means for you. Now, kind of the cons of an acquisition, I'll say this in today's environment, is one of the biggest things I hear from, I mentioned earlier, like it's already built out. So you're saving time. Oh, probably not in today's environment in a lot of cases, depending on where you're at and in the country or even in the world. Because I would say of the clients that come on board, one of the common themes I hear from our clients when we're doing their vision call at the beginning of our process together is this: I've been looking for a practice for X amount of time. That's been, in some cases, I hear years. So think about like an average startup is 12 to 18 months. I'll kind of lean on and say, you know, 18 months-ish, you could, from the concept of an idea, you can open your practice. There's a lot of nuances and things like that, but just hang with me on 18 months. If you've been looking for 2 years for an acquisition, you could have been open and you probably could be now not working as an associate because you might be full-time in your practice. So if it's been 2 years, like define, maybe even like draw that line in the sand in like your mind or on a calendar and say, if I don't find a practice by X amount of date, you need to think about that, because the challenge in today's environment when it comes to acquisitions is finding the right practice and the timing of that practice. The second element and challenges of finding practices is not just like available, but like available good practices. I hear this a lot because corporate dentistry, Wall Street money and all those things, private equity are gobbling up, they're gobbling up the bigger and better practices. So what's left over? In a lot of cases, it might be the underperforming practice. So I would caution you and say, don't buy the underperforming practice because it doesn't have the cash flow. Imagine it like this. You are salmon swim upstream, obviously, to do what they do and spawn and all these different things. But like you're not a salmon, obviously, and you'd be swimming upstream when it comes to acquiring a practice. So imagine the stream coming at you is declining revenues. Don't think like, I'm going to turn this thing around tomorrow. It will be huge, a huge undertaking and massively challenging. Why? With declining revenues, banks aren't going to love it. Banks are going to be asking the question of, oh, declining revenues, where's the bottom? Where does this practice bottom out? So again, figure on declining revenues with patient attrition. So you're going to lose patients, more patients when you acquire the practice, just assume that. And then declining revenues. So it's like a decline upon a decline. Where does that bottom out? And so you need to consider that, because just because you think, wow, I could buy a practice for $300,000, this underperforming practice, it's a diamond in the rough. Don't think like day one, like I'm going to infuse revenue into this, because the banks, if it's declining, the banks aren't going to lend above the value of that practice. So just like a home, a bank isn't going to lend more on the value of a home based upon the comps and things like that. In this case, an acquisition is based upon revenues. Now, DSOs and people like that, they value practices differently, EBITDA, and you hear all these different terms that are out there. But, for street prices, let's just say, practices are selling for a percentage in most cases, outside DSO transactions, for a percentage of the last few years combination of revenue and collections and things like that. And they come up with a formula and say, okay, the value is within this range. So kind of give you a general idea. Banks aren't going to lend above the value of that practice. So the cash flow that you think that you have may not be there. So don't, I would say, caution the underperforming practice. Now, some of those are going to, people may say, oh, Stephen, I've done this before. And I've heard, Dennis, I bought my first practice and it was underperforming. I was able to grow it a few years. Congrats. You're the exception. I've been doing this for 20 years. That I don't hear a lot of those stories. I hear more stories of like, ooh, I bought this practice. I'm still struggling to make it grow. The reason why is you can't borrow more than the value to infuse it with new patients or to buy new equipment, new technology, because it just doesn't have the revenue. And how you, so the only way around that is possibly to infuse cash out of your own pocket, because the banks aren't going to lend above the value, generally speaking, of an acquisition. The other challenge of an acquisition is, I talk about culture and team. You need to accept what is inside of that practice from day one. Don't go in from day one as an acquisition and think like, oh, I'm going to change everything in here. Don't. You're already going to have attrition of a patient base from day one. Generally speaking, you're going to lose patients, but don't put yourself in a position where you lose the team from day one, because you're going to come in and want to be able to change everything from day one. Now, a few years ago, I've told the story before. I think I was in Michigan, actually. And I was doing a small seminar on startups. And one of my disclaimers I always talk about if I'm on stage and things like that is, I'm not here to talk you into a startup. This path is not right for everybody. I get done, and there's this doctor, and I've done my research on some of the doctors that are in the crowds because I had some time with other speakers, and I was one of the last speakers. And I found this doctor and who asked me this question. He goes, "Steven, you told me you wouldn't sell us on a startup. Sell me on a startup." I was like, "Cool." I said, can you give me your website? And I saw his website and I had found it. And I said, "Oh, cool. So you're this doctor." And I said, "These other two doctors are kind of flanking you on their homepage." I said, "They look like the senior doctors." I said, "Did you acquire this practice?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Those are the senior doctors?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Awesome." I said, "When did you acquire this practice?" He said, I bought this practice 6 years ago." I was like, "Awesome. Congrats. How are things going?" He said, "Things are going very well." I said, "All right. Bought it 6 years ago. How long did it take you to implement all the protocols and all the systems and even the team and the culture that you wanted to have from day one?" And he goes, "5 months." He goes, "Years." So he had owned a practice for 6, and he only within the last year was he able to say, I have what I want to have. It took him 5 years to implement everything the way that he wanted. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lot of sacrifice to make in sitting in that own practice to be able to wait that long. Now, obviously, it might have been the right practice. He might have been an associate there for a number of years, but that is something to consider, because day one, you're not going to build the culture inside of there. You're not going to be able to go in there and want to replace your team from day one. You need to keep everything as status quo as possible with an acquisition. And that's what you don't get with a startup. With a startup, I'll talk about that here in a moment, you get the ability of having everything from day one, the pre-planning all those different elements. The other big thing about an acquisition that can be a challenge is, what is the reputation? So looking beyond the revenues. Now, you need to be pulling, I'll say this, if you're not pulling charts, if you're not pulling like patients and not understanding like all these elements, I'm going to talk through that here in a few moments. You also need to understand, what is the reputation of this practice? Has this practice changed hands once or twice, 3 times? Why? Why has it changed hands so many times? What is the biggest challenge that exists there? So think about the reputation of this practice. If this practice has had a bad reputation, don't think from day one like, oh, I'm going to change it overnight. Well, the team, well, I'll go back. The community has accepted who that doctor was. Maybe this doctor that owned this practice before was just a bad egg. Maybe they didn't have a good reputation. Maybe they just didn't do things. He didn't do things very well. But if he had a successful practice, guess what? The community accepted that behavior. The other thing is, the team accepted that behavior. If they were mistreated or things like that, that's horrible and deplorable. But going in from day one saying, I'm going to change everything around here, even though it was not great for them, it was something that they accepted as well. So kind of back to the acceptance of what's there is something that you will need to do with an acquisition. And that's tough to be able to do that. The other, I'll say like the other risk of an acquisition is, you simply bought the wrong practice. There is such risk that can go into acquiring the wrong practice. I've seen acquisitions fail. I've seen acquisitions fail because there wasn't the due diligence done. I've seen acquisitions fail because they bought the wrong practice in the wrong town. They bought the wrong practice because they didn't do the procedures, or all these different elements fail within that practice. Other big thing is, they didn't understand what this practice actually meant, or even knew what those numbers meant. You need to do so much due diligence on an acquisition, because the wrong one can unravel very, very quickly. Now, buy-ins is a kind of another path when it comes to acquisitions. And I'll say this, some of the biggest risks of buying into a practice. So now you're like, I'm going to buy in for a percentage is, I'll just say this. Are you truly an owner? Do you have ownership capabilities of making decisions? Because in most cases, when you're the junior doctor buying into the senior doctor practice, in most cases, the senior doctor practice looks at it as, I don't blame them, you're buying into my practice. But what they fail to understand is you're buying into our practice in reality. Like, it becomes our practice post-transition. It's always kind of feels like it's kind of hanging over the head. And for so many, I've guided clients that have come to us through, I think of one of our clients, Dr. Mike, and his wife, Stephanie. We guided him through like getting out of a bad partnership because he knew like, oh, I don't have decision-making possibilities. And now he has an awesome practice where he serves, and he's like community guy. He and his family are so tied in, and just the things that they do. It's awesome. But that was a tough path. That was like a lot of unraveling. So buying in, I'm not going to spend a lot of time in it, because I just think for so many, I would say so many of them don't even make it to the finish line, because by the time you kind of get to the close, you can tell like, it's like that carrot's been dangled, and like you keep chasing it from the senior doctor, and they keep kind of pushing out, and it always becomes back to, well, I'm allowing you to buy into the practice. Well, if you're allowing them to buy into the practice, then you're relinquishing a percentage of ownership, which means relinquishing a percentage of decision-making inside of that practice. So not a huge, huge fan of the buy-in path. What's a positive? You kind of step in, I guess. You know, there isn't less risk. There's still a ton of risk that's involved there. So that's the path of an acquisition. So now I'm going to dig into like why startups can be so great. There's huge benefits of a startup. Number one is simply this: you are building the vision that you want. You're building the reputation that you want from day one. You're building your legacy. Like, all those things are going to be wrapped into that. You get to define everything that's in there. Another big thing is you're defining the culture from day one. With an acquisition I talked about earlier, you are simply like accepting what's there. With a startup, you're defining it from day one. You must define and pre-plan, something we talk about, pre-plan your culture even before the doors open. But you get to do this so that you can attract patients and the right team. You get to build the team the way that you want from day one. Inside of your startup, you get to do all these different, you get to define all the different systems and all the protocols from day one. It's truly yours. And you're also choosing the kinds of patients that you want from day one, which is so beneficial, because with an acquisition, it's like you're accepting the patients that are there. Are you going to love 100% of your patients? No. Yeah, they're going to have patients that aren't going to be there. They're going to come in your practice, whether you bought a practice or you did a startup. But a startup, for our clients, for them, they always come in, they say, I always ask them, why a startup? How did you get here? How did you choose this path? And the answers are usually similar. A lot of times they say, I've been looking for an acquisition for years. Can't find what I want. It's underperforming. Bad practices. I want to build it the way that I want. I want to truly be fulfilled. One of our clients just came on board. His name is Dr. Jeff. He's in the Midwest. And he had worked for his father for over a decade. Dad sold the practice, and he said, I want to be fulfilled. He's got the skill set. I'm predicting huge things from him and what he creates. For him, it was, my father's practice wasn't mine. Obviously, my father sold that practice, and I continued to work there, but I never was going to get what I wanted in my own startup. In his own startup, he's going to be able to define where he wants to be, define the hours, have the freedom and the control inside of his practice in order to build something special. And for him, for Dr. Jeff, I'll say this. And I even said this to him. I said, this isn't going to be like his first practice. For him, it was more about, this is going to be my last practice. And he's actually very young. He's been practicing for about 15 years. But he said, this is what I want to build for myself, for my community, for my family. I want to be able to have this path, something that I can even maybe pass on to one of his children to really do something in his community. And that's what the startup is providing for him. And that's what the startup path can provide for you, that you're on your timeline. You can build this the way that you want. If you've been looking for an acquisition for 2 years, you could have been open. You could have a beautiful practice to be able to doing this. Now, one of the big things that I always hear about, like, from a startup is people think startups don't attract patients or it's harder to do this. I'll say this. Our practices, on average, over 80 new patients per month in their first year. 80. The average practice in the country averages about 30 new patients a month. So we're almost, our clients almost triple that. Our average clients also leave their associate positions in 6 months. So that's what they plan, to have a true marketing strategy. And it's only as good as implementation. So if you think about, like I talked about marketing strategies before, they're only as good in what you do is only as good. The results are only as good as the implementation of what you do. Just like being a compliant patient. If a patient doesn't wear their night guards and things like that in their trays, they're not going to get the result that they desire. So if you're thinking about like a startup, like, man, I don't know how to get new patients. You can do this. You have the ability. You can leave your associate position in 6 months to be working in your practice from day one. So you're not going to be without patients. In fact, what you're going to have are the right patients. You're going to have your patients from day one when you build this right. You're going to have the systems. With a startup, you're going to have the culture. You're going to have your team the way that you want and all those elements. And my goal for each and every one of you that does a startup is this. I want you to be wildly fulfilled, wildly successful, and really having the control and the freedom that you want to have to be able to have that life that you want as a practice owner. So I hope this shed some light on this topic of which path is right for you. Think about that. Like acquisition versus startup, there is the right path for you. I'll say this. I think that's a wrap. That's a wrap on this acquisition versus startup topic. Don't forget to check the show notes for any links and resources that we talked about today. Next time, we are going to dive into some of how to avoid the costly mistakes of acquiring or leasing your real estate. I'll see you there. As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.